Well, this morning we come to the end of this account of the life of Joseph. And I wonder, what do you make? What do you make of Joseph's life? If you had to say one thing about Joseph's life, what would you say? Perhaps it might be about his dreams back as a young man, his relationship with his brothers, or his fortitude as he stood up to being a slave and then to being in prison. Or it might be his wisdom as he handed out the grain there. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read this. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. You think, of all that there is in the life of Joseph, come on, God, surely you can say something more about him than that. It's a little bit like saying, what's the one factor about Winston Churchill you might want to highlight? Winston Churchill's home was donated to the public on the condition that there always be a marmalade cat named Jock in residence. And you think that's not a great summary of Winston Churchill's life, is it? So you think, well, surely, you know, God, through the writer of the Hebrews, must have got it wrong. Well, we're going to look at Joseph's faith this morning. And we're going to see what these verses at the end of Genesis chapter 50 have to say. And the first thing I just want to highlight is that by faith, Joseph lived like God, but not as God. Now, for most of his life, if you know the story, Joseph was powerless. For many years, he was the youngest of the sons. He became a slave in Potiphar's house. He was a prisoner until he was elevated by Pharaoh to be a kind of minister of agriculture. And then suddenly, he had authority. He had authority a little bit like God. But all through his life, he never acted like God. And now at the end, he didn't act like God. Earlier in his life, he'd sought, yes, to speak for God. He spoke for God to Potiphar's wife. He spoke for God to the butler and the baker there in prison. And then when Pharaoh brings him out of prison and Pharaoh explains his dreams to Joseph, this is what Joseph had to say. I cannot do it, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. So he knew he had these powers, but not to be God in those situations. That's how he spoke, but also how he acted. When he became important in the nation of Egypt, and other nations, including his own family, were coming to him for help, he acted with grace and with mercy. And what we see here, as we get to his brothers coming to him, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us? That's Genesis 50, verse 15. They were anxious because now Joseph held the power. They were the ones who'd thrown him in the pit. They were the ones who'd sold him to the Midianite traders. Now the role is reversed. Joseph has the power. What's he going to do? And in a sense, as they came to Joseph, they really didn't have a leg to stand on. They could only expect Joseph's anger and Joseph's judgment on them. But that's not what happened. Because while Joseph had these, as it were, was in the place, as it were, of God, he acted like God. He showed them grace and mercy. He forgave them. Verse 21, if you've got your Bibles there. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and for your children. He reassured them and spoke kindly to them. This is grace and this is mercy. They came to him and in a sense, yes, he acted like God. He was not God, but he acted like God. And friends, that's how it is, isn't it? When we come to God, we come to God in humility because we recognize we don't have a leg to stand on in God's presence. We don't have any right to come to a holy God because of our sinful nature. And in a sense, as we come to God, we ought to expect God's judgment because we have sinned against God and God alone. And yet, when we come to God, God grants us grace and mercy. So Joseph, in a sense, was acting like God, though he never claimed to be God. God offers us the same mercy that Joseph offered his brothers. Here is Joseph's faith. Here is something we can learn from in Joseph's faith. Because you see, I think sometimes as Christians, we can be guilty of doing it the other way round. We can be guilty of thinking we're God. So people come to us and we act in judgment against them. We condemn them. And yet Jesus asks us to forgive others as God has forgiven us. Joseph's brothers came to him. And for Joseph, there was all the remembrance of the things that they'd done to him. Again, in verse 15, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? And yet he forgives them. That's Joseph's faith. Where he lived like God, not as God. He forgave. And it just encourages me to ask us, who is it that I need to forgive? Who is it that has offended me that I need to forgive as God has forgiven me? Joseph's faith meant he lived like God, not as God. And Joseph's faith meant he saw God's salvation plan. Again, if you've got the Bible there, look with me at verse 20. It's probably one of the best known verses from Genesis, where Joseph, speaking to his brothers, said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And friends, if you want one statement that sums up Joseph's story and account of his life, this is it. You intended to harm me. God intended it for good, for salvation's purposes. Joseph saw God's big picture of salvation. He didn't think his life was just a series of ups and downs with no rhyme or reason. He saw God's hand had been upon his life all the way through, using each event, good and bad, for God's purposes of salvation. It was through Joseph that God's people came down into Egypt, where they were saved. They were saved from starvation and where they prospered. But that's only part of the story. Go right to the end of Genesis. Genesis 50, 26. Look at it with me if you would. Joseph died at the age of 110. And after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Joseph was entombed. He was entombed in Egypt. And in a sense, that's a metaphor. A metaphor for God's people. They were stuck in Egypt. And it will take Moses and it will take the Exodus to bring them out of Egypt. Because God's salvation plan doesn't end with Joseph and his death. It continues. It continues through the whole of the Bible. Joseph saw God's big picture. What God was doing in salvation history. And he saw his part in it. And that gave him a mature faith. So that in the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, he wasn't like an infant tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. Joseph knew God's plan. I don't suppose when he was thrown in a pit, he knew God's plan. I don't think for a moment when he was in prison and the butler said, when I'm restored, I'll tell Pharaoh about you and it didn't happen. I don't think he knew God's plan then. But as he stood there as that important person in the agriculture of Egypt and looked back, he could see what God had been doing and why God had been doing it and his part in it. You know how it is on a dark night. No moon, and you can hardly see anything. And then suddenly the clouds part. And I don't know what time you got up this morning. I got up just after 5:30, and I went downstairs, and it was as clear as day outside because the moon was there. And in a sense, that's how it is for Joseph. At times in prison, it must have been very dark. Couldn't see what was going on, why it was happening. And suddenly, everything's become clear to Joseph. He sees God's plan and he sees the part he's in it. Friends, it is important. It's important for your faith and for mine that we see and keep in mind God's big picture of salvation in Christ Jesus. The big picture of salvation in Christ Jesus, which is God's plan to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood of Christ on the cross. That's God's big picture. That's God's plan. And that can help us. It can help us in the tough times. It can help us in the good times. It can help us as we look back. I remember very clearly one Sunday in December 1991. I'd been a curate at Emmanuel Northwoods. And I'd been director of training at All Souls Langham Place, two very big churches. But that morning, I'd just finished taking a service in a tiny little church with about 25 people. And as I stood there at the end, my feet were freezing. The flagstones underneath my feet had caused my... And I was thinking, what on earth have I done? Why am I here? I've just come from a church where I'd be preaching to 1,500. Here I've got 25. But then I remembered why I was there. I remembered how God had brought me there in an amazing way. And the hymn went through my mind. The first verse, it goes like this. Father, although I cannot see the future you have planned, and though the dark path is sometimes dark and hard to understand, yet give me faith through joy and pain to trace your loving hand. Joseph, by faith, was able to trace God's loving hand and his part in God's salvation purposes. And that's the truth for us. And it's when we see that truth, that we are part of God's salvation history, that we better understand some of the things that have happened to us in the past and can deal with what's happening to us in the present. We are part of God's salvation history. Not just salvation for ourselves, but salvation for others as well. I recall once some Christians who were working overseas in a prayer letter writing this, and I quote, "At our home in the mountains, it's harvest time. Hopes are high and people are happy. This year, finally, the rain came and the harvest is good and everyone can eat. People here live their lives by the seasons. They're happy seasons like now, when everyone is out reaping their well-earned harvest. There are tough seasons when they are just putting in the physical graft and praying the rains will come. At the moment, our family are in a season of faithfully plodding. We know we are meant to be here, putting in the hard work required to break the ground and praying that the rain would come," end quotes. And you can sense in there that it's hard work. And they must have been wondering, why are we here? And the reminder was to them that they were there because God had put them there to break the ground. Part of God's salvation story. Trusting in the big picture. Now, not all of us are in their position. Not all of us are in mine in that cold church. Many of us here work in the secular world, but we still need to see that big picture. because you know better than I do that in the real world out there, you're not always appreciated because you're a follower of Jesus. In fact, just the opposite. And you may think, why am I here in this firm? Why am I here in this company? When actually I get overlooked for promotion because they know I'm a Christian. Or because sometimes my views are derided and seen as sort of out of date. Friends, you're part of God's salvation purposes. And out there, you have the opportunity of living and speaking for Jesus Christ, which I, in my position, don't have. And yet it's tough. And you may look back at some of the things that have happened to you and think, why? And God is at work. God is at work for his salvation purposes. Joseph trusted that. By faith, he saw God's salvation plan. And we need faith when things are tough to see God's salvation plan. And just thirdly and briefly, by faith, Joseph trusted God's promises. This is where Peter started us off in the service. And this is where, in a sense, we come to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. Joseph, with his understanding of God's salvation history, knew that Egypt was not the end. It's not the end of the story. If you look at the Bible passage in verse 24, Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Can you see his faith there? God will surely come to your aid. God will take you. That is, he'll take you as his people to the land that he's promised. That is, to God's place where they would be in God's presence. God's people in God's place under God's presence. That's the covenant promise. That's what Jacob was trusting in. It was a godly faith, rooted in God's promises, holding to God's picture of salvation. And friends, it does remind us to make sure that our faith is rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, see, Joseph knew that Egypt wasn't the end. Joseph knew God's promise to take his people to be in his place. And friends, we have an even greater promise, don't we? Because Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, I will come and take you to be with me, to take us out of this land where, in a sense, we're in exile, to be with him, trusting in his promises. That's what Joseph was doing, trusting in the promises of God that Egypt wasn't the end. And we are trusting in the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ that death is not the end. We will one day rise to be with him forever. So here is Joseph's faith, a faith where he lived like God but not as God. A faith where he saw God's salvation plan and that shaped the understanding of his life. Above all, a faith whereby he trusted in God's promises. This is a faith for our encouragement, for our example. A faith which we can, in a sense, hope that God would strengthen us in, to live for God as witnesses to his grace and mercy, and walking day by day in that faith and hope. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, as we look back on this life of Joseph, as we think about his life of faith, We recognize that sometimes we don't have that kind of faith. We doubt, we're uncertain, we're hesitant. But Heavenly Father, we want to pray that your word would challenge, would shape, would encourage us as we step forward. And that this week, Heavenly Father, aware of your big picture of salvation, we may, wherever we are at work, at home, in our leisure situations, we might want to be those witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ so that others may hear and know of his grace and mercy for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.